Hey, this morning we are blessed to have the Vermees here. First off, they're here and we haven't got to see them yet, and that's a shame on our part. We need to make an opportunity to come visit you guys in Japan. I personally volunteer myself. And it's hard duty. You've already been to Japan with the Marines, right?
I'm telling
them,
they have all
the
alligators up there.
Domo alligator, yeah. But they're here amongst us. Come on up, and as your wife, you're going to run the techie stuff. His wife's the tech. When he talks about our technology advisor, apparently it's his wife.
Yeah, she's going to run the little thing.
I just want to, you know, this is 5 years ago you were here, and I was the interim pastor, and I haven't given that pulpit up yet. I snookered
really?
Him. Hey, why should we support you in the field? What is so exciting about the a bunch of pasty white people in Japan?
Well, you know, if the scripture is right, and I believe it is, it says go wherever it may be to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation for whomsoever that will believe. And that means anyone. It means including Japan.
Amen.
And so I've been encouraged this morning as I've listened to it said a number of times, beginning with this guy right down here, that you're a going church, because that's what it needs to be.
No, that's a
you've
statement
gotta
about
go.
Our prostates.
No. Going with the gospel around the
we
world.
We have a large senior ministry here, so I didn't know where
No. Getting out to the four corners of the earth. And you know, the exciting thing I think that's going to be, I don't know, maybe it's not so true in this day and age when we're so caught up with everything in the here and the now, and we live with such undivided attention and commitment to the temporal so often, and that's not good. But in the midst of all of that, if we could just turn our eyes to realize that there's a day coming, and it may come very soon, when we will be gathered with our Lord Jesus Christ with people from every tribe and nation on the face of the earth. It's not just us. It's people from everywhere. And that includes the Japanese, too.
Hey, but let's be honest, Bob. They're hard to reach. Couldn't we spend money somewhere else?
They are hard to reach. But can you put a price tag on the value of one person coming to Christ? It's already been mentioned that this morning. So whether it's in a prison or whether it's in Japan where people do live in spiritual darkness. It's an ironic thing that Japan is perhaps the easiest country on the faces of this earth to get into as a Christian missionary. Far, far more easy than it is to go to Mexico. Far, far safer than it is in Mexico. But in the midst of all of that, where you live with the people who have such incredible public politeness. You know, I don't even want to go there, but just take a ride on one of our airlines and experience rudeness, as the flight attendants tell you. I just, you know, I'm tired. Don't bother me. But in that land where there's all of that, there is a hardness of heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The spiritual soil is hard. But God has called us to plant those good seeds. And indeed, as we will share in this PowerPoint a little bit, I think we can show you that he is giving us opportunities to see people introduced to Christ. And then step by step, their hearts are melted before him and they give their hearts to Jesus. It's in the process.
Well, let me pray for you as you get ready for that. And
okay, do I put this on?
Oh, well, sure. I'll get in real close.
Okay. All right. Okay. Pray.
Pictures.
Yeah.
No? Okay.
No pictures.
Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the Vermees family. I think that it's not just an act of worship on part of he and his wife, but his children have grown up in the admonishment of your word, Lord, that every ethnos, every group of people will know you and will have a remnant out of every one of them. And Lord, we pray that as the soil is being broken, we would see a type of fruit there that would send missionaries from Japan, even if it would be to Korea, Lord, if you would overcome those boundaries of race and culture and war and hate and pain, there's only one who could pronounce that kind of peace, Jesus. And it's your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good luck.
Thank you. Stick this on
here. Hard crowd.
Okay, well.
Some of them don't look them in the eye. They get weird.
Okay, all right. Well, we're going to get to this PowerPoint that you see right up above, but I just feel compelled to open up just a short portion of God's Word, because I think it ties in with where we've been up to this point in this morning's worship time together. When I tell you, I want to look together with you at Matthew 28, the end of that book. You all know that portion, but I just want to remind ourselves of those foundational truths for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the sharing of it. Where we go there at the very end, and Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he's talking to us, his disciples, right now, here this morning. And from verse 18, he says, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Just a few key things there. First of all, that most and all-important thing, that all authority is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I just want to take a moment to go there, because we live in an age and a day when it seems like we can do so much. You know, the IT world, informational technology, has brought it to the point where we can just about do anything, it seems. You know, I sit at my computer there over in Japan, and I talk with my grandkids in Kampala, Uganda. And we're looking at each other on this thing. It's just astounding what we can do. And, you know, I'm just scratching the surface of all of that. But I think there's one point we need to clarify and go to, and that is to remember that it's not us. It is He alone who has the authority. And we go forth in that authority, and because He has all that authority to save whomsoever that will believe, we can go. We go only for that reason, and by that reason, and because of Him who has given and brought the victory over everything, over sin and death and hell. And I need that reminder in Japan, where I live daily and constantly in the midst of so much spiritual darkness. Friends, in the human way of looking at it all, it seems so terribly daunting. Terribly daunting. But if I can get away from my own weakness and realize that He, as He increases and we see His power, then we can go to the place of knowing that it is His authority, and we can see things take place. And people do come to Christ, and then we're told that we're to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Bring them to that place where they're making that public confession and expression before all that they have been brought from the old into the new, and they are part of His. And as we do this, we teach them to obey all. That's really what a disciple does, isn't it? The mark of a disciple is obedience. And that's another thing that our world needs. Our world needs a respect for that which is true and a willingness of heart to follow it. And then I love the last part of that there, which I think is so good for us. And it was mentioned a little bit ago by CJ. We're not in this alone. You know, we don't have a great boss somewhere up there who says, "Okay, guys, you've heard what you're to do. Just go out and do it. And when you think you've got it done, check back with me and I'll see what kind of score I'll give you." It's not that at all. He says, "I, and be sure of this," that's what my translation says, "I am with you always." How much is always? How long does always go on? It's always, isn't it? Pardon the redundancy. But that's where it's at. And so as we turn now to look at these few pictures here, they share the story of where God has brought us and where God has us right now. And we would just want in this moment, before I get to that, to just say thank you to you for sticking by the stuff so long. You know, our fellowship and our friendship with you all here in Kingsburg goes back to the mid to later 70s. Back when I believe your pastor was Keith Lundberg. Some of you will remember back to then. But over all these years, you have been faithful to see that God wants us to go forth to all people to share that good news. And so we just want to say thank you. Domo arigato gozaimasu. However it is that this guy over here says it. He's got the, you know, a little bit of a twisted translation to that. But indeed, we just say thank you to you for that. And I'm going to step down here so that you can have your focus up there, and we'll just look at these few pictures. We are in the midst of a church plant in the city of Itoshima, and we call our church plant the Itoshima Evangelical Free Church. And we are in the land of Japan. Here's just a map of this country. And I want to just take a few moments here to share a couple, three things. If you look at the map there, you begin way up at the top up over there with the island of Hokkaido, and you come down here through the main island of Honshu, which is like a backwards lazy L. You come over to the left side here, and you have two more islands, Shikoku and Kyushu. Well, right at the bend of that main island of Honshu, you will see Tokyo. You've probably heard of that city. Tokyo and its surrounding cities around it in the Kanto Plains. If you go out throughout most of that Kanto Plains, which is an area of about 70 or 80 miles square, you will have about 40 million people. I believe that's at least three times the population of California. And the whole country of Japan is about equal to the same size as your state of California. There's one major difference between California and Japan also, and that is that Japan is 80% mountainous. We came down here from the Bay Area the other day, and I'm just intrigued and astounded with how mile after mile after mile God has blessed this state of California with such rich agricultural community. It's just amazing, the differences. Well, anyway, there is Tokyo. And just for a moment more of digression before we get to what we're involved with, if you go up the right side of the island of Honshu, you will come to the city of Sendai. Some of you will recall that on March 11th, 2011, we in the land of Japan experienced an earthquake of the magnitude of 9 on the Richter scale and a following tsunami with waves in excess of 30 feet. 27,000 lives claimed in that, 10,000 of whom have yet to be accounted for. Well, that occurred up there, and some people have asked us if we were affected by that. Well, the answer to that is no and yes. No, in terms of the natural disaster itself, we were not affected because we live 1,000 miles far to the west of it, way over on the island of Kyushu, right below the South Korean Peninsula. And so that we were away from all of that. But then, as I'll share in just a few moments through one of our pictures there, we were affected by it in terms of the response that the nation had, as well as the response from all around the world to reach out with compassion and passion to reach out and help these people with all of those terrible needs that were just instantly forced upon them. Well, we're over here on the island of Kyushu in the city of Itoshima, which is tucked right up next to Fukuoka, a city of 1.5 million. Our little town is 100,000 people, a small town as it would go in the land of Japan. And we'd just like to take some moments to share with you about our church, beginning with the oldest to the youngest. And then to talk and share with you some pictures of families. You know, we do this because I believe that the key for a church, actually the key for a country and for a society, is to have strong families. And if we can have families that are God-fearing families, where you have a father who loves the Lord Jesus Christ and can be training his children and leading them in the way that they should go. So we're grateful for the several families that God has given to us in our church plant. But we also thank the Lord for singles. Here's Kie. And Kie, it's just kind of a neat story with Kie. In the previous church plant that we were involved with, which is 5 miles to the east of us, God gave us the privilege to lead this gal to Christ. And then in the time afterward, when we went into this church plant where we are now, she came and joined us and was on our part-time church staff to lead us with the children's ministry. And God has gifted this gal in just marvelous ways. Well, she felt the need to move on to a full-time ministry, and so she's gone on to a foster care ministry work. But then here's this Koichi Kumamoto. He is an executive with a large insurance company, and incidentally, after the March 11, 2011 disaster, he was a very, very busy man. With all the claims that were going on, he's also an astute student of the Word of God. And then there's Motoko. I'm going to talk about her in just a little bit here. And then we also have some junior high kids. Grace, Joy, and Raina are here in the picture. We have a couple other kids. One of them, she's moved away, but then there's another one who just isn't in the picture. But we share this with you because God has worked in these kids' hearts, and all of these kids have given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ in the days of the ministry over there. And it's just so neat to see that having taken place. And then God has given us some kids. Here's a picture of a few of them. The gal up in the right top up there isn't a Japanese gal. She's actually a military brat from Arkansas who married a Japanese and lives in Japan now. And there she is with some of her kids as well as some others. And then we have some wives who have unsaved husbands. And this is a key thing. We just ask you to pray for gals like Nobuko and Maiko and Mrs. Kaneko Hisako, who daily have the challenge of being the fragrance of the Lord Jesus Christ before their unsaved husbands, with that constant desire and that prayer that God would increase the number of Christian homes that we would have, not only in our own midst, but in the land of Japan as a whole. Well, when we started our church a number of years ago, we established a motto for ourselves, and it goes to love Him and make Him known. In Japanese, shuo aishi, shuo shiraseru. And the way we do this is through a number of ways. One of them is through worship. Every Sunday we gather at our little house, our church house, where actually Joan and I live, but it's also serving as the church. We gather and we come there for worship together every Sunday. And then also through discipleship and leadership training. And again, through outreach. This happens to be a picture of a Christmas kids outreach event. And then through fellowship, at least 3 Sundays of the month, Joan will make a noon meal that's there for all of us who want to stay to share together and just visit and have fellowship. And there are a number, almost every Sunday, when it's probably at least 3 o'clock before everybody's gone home. Well, we also are involved in compassion. I mentioned the March 11th disaster and how it affected us was that we joined together with the many others who gathered a bottled water and blankets and clothes and brought them together at a central point where they were trucked up to these areas that were so heavily affected by that disaster. We also do it through prayer. We have a prayer time every third Sunday after worship, as well as a midweek prayer time and other Bible study times of prayer too. Well, our church, and there's the picture actually of our church. It looks like an old traditional Japanese farmhouse, but our church has established 2 key goals for its life. One of them is the goal of releasing and encouraging all of our believers to use the gifts that God's given them in ministry. And we ask we get them to do this through leading of our Lammy Club, which is our Mommies and Me Club, the moms, the young moms with their pre-K kids who come every week in and out for that ministry. And then through the teaching of Sunday school and through the kids' message time during the worship hour. And then also through music ministry, we've got this fella here. He's from West Virginia, but he's married a Japanese gal, and he's a great sax player. Most every Sunday, we sing led by a sax in our worship time. Then we have others who help out, too, with the music. And through the leading of home Bible studies. And then we also have this part-time church staff person, Motoko, who came and joined us this last summer, last July. Motoko is just a neat story. If some of you receive our newsletter, we featured her testimony in that. But Motoko has come and she helps us out with our church finances. She also helps us out with getting it, you know, all our flyers, all our announcements and all that written in right Japanese, so you don't get the wrong pronunciation like Dave does and all that stuff, you know. Okay. And then she also helps us with the Bible story time, with our outreaches otherwise too. And then our second goal is that of outreach and evangelism. And this happens, as I mentioned, through the Lammy Club. As you look at this picture up here, all those ladies who are there with us don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior yet. But every week in and out, we share with them gospel message. We sing gospel songs. We do games, and we have fun times together. We're just trusting that each week, as the Lord impacts their hearts, we're going to see people, these young moms, coming to Christ. And we have other feature events with them. Joan often will do, once a month, we'll do a cooking class. This is just a means to allow us to have another opportunity to share with them Jesus. Well, this particular picture here shows her sharing with them how to decorate your table for Christmas. And then through a neighborhood kids outreach, we have a weekly kids club, and every summer we invite them down to our church for a weenie roast. If you look very closely at this picture, you'll see the kids there got their weenie sticks out there, and they've got a pretty long wiener on there, you know, pretty long hot dog. That's not a Japanese hot dog. We got those hot dogs at a store that we have in our town that's called Costco. Works real great. And we also have an outreach for these kids at the Christmas time. And if you look here, you'll see that there's kids up there, and they are doing the Christmas story and a Christmas skit, along with, actually, on this particular picture, Joseph was one of the teachers at the local public grade school, and they come down to our church, and we do the Christmas story, and they're in that skit, and as they play in that skit, they hear what is the true meaning of Christmas, because Christmas isn't Santa Claus, it's Christmas, which is the celebration of Christ, and that's what we want to convey to these kids as they're there with us. And we have them with do a little craft time, and we also then take the time to share a message of Christmas. And we also have a very popular event called the Christmas Wreath Making, and on this occasion people come, and we do there also share the real meaning of Christmas. And here these ladies have gathered, and they're taking these beautiful greens, and we also have pine cones and other things, and Joan puts together a very nice ribbon and all, and they make their wreaths, which they then take home and will hang on and decorate in their homes. And we've gone over there weeks afterwards, sometimes even months afterwards, and they're still got them on decoration. In fact, we went to a couple of places where, you know, those wreaths had turned fall colors, and you know, but they just love them, and they got them on display. And then we also do this outreach through summer VBS programs, where the kids will come and we share with them that Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus loves you. We have had short-term missionaries from the States. CJ mentioned about coming over there. We'd love to have you come over there and work together with us in these opportunities that God continues to give, where we can share the good news of Jesus Christ. And then through personal evangelism, our constant effort and desire is to encourage our people to be shining lights for Jesus Christ, wherever they are. And this is just one little story here. It's the story of Kyoko, who is up seated there on the left. Kyoko is just a vibrant person. I don't know very many people, I can't think of very many people, who know more people than Kyoko does, and who's just so forthright and loving with her desire to share Jesus with others. And she was befriending Motoko, and she brought Motoko our way. And when Motoko came to us, that's the gal in the pink there, she came with all kinds of really heavy burdens, a lot of baggage that was weighing her down. And I had the privilege to share with her that there's one that she can come to who can give her rest in her own heart. That's what he says, doesn't he? Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. I'll take those heavy burdens. And as we kept sharing with her that and pointing her to Jesus, she gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this last late fall, she wanted to be baptized. And so I had the privilege to baptize her. And what a joy that was to do that. And here you see the two again with the smiling faces. Incidentally, Motoko is a gal who still has a lot of challenges that she faces, but it is astounding as to the difference in the way and in the approach that she has to it, as she now can do it in the strength that the Lord Jesus Christ gives her. And she doesn't have those burdens like she used to have. It's just a great deal. And then, as we would talk about outreach and sharing, I want to talk about how it happens for Joan and me in many different contexts. Our church is located in a rather small community. It's a semi-rural community that is mostly agriculturally based. It's a community where most everybody is related to someone else. That is, except Joan and me. You know, we don't look like we're related to any of those people there. And it is a community that in some ways has been very close throughout the many, many years and many, many generations. But as we've moved in there and as we share with these people, God has been opening up hearts. And we find the people friendly. And in the midst of all of this, we're making the effort constantly to develop relationships with these people. Because in Japan, if you want anybody to make an important decision, they will do it on the basis of the relationship that they have with you. And so our effort is constantly there to develop relationships with these people. Well, let me just tell you a neat little thing that happened for me. Not this last year, but the year before last, the community town council where we are came to me and asked if I would serve on the community council. That was just an amazing thing. You know, that they would open up and be willing to have a gringo on their committee, you know, in this old traditional community. And that was just a fabulous opportunity, a gift from God, allowing me to be able to work at building relationships with these people. And here I'm seated with some of these other officials of the town council. And God has given us opportunities to just be with them and to get to know them. Here we are at a evening potluck, a supper we had together when the cherry blossoms were blooming. And then we also have had other times when we get together and do fun things. Here we have this man in white has come and he's teaching us how to make homemade udon noodles. You probably call them udon, but udon noodles. There you can see Joan cutting them, and here I'm testing them out to see if they're okay. I just put on my very best apron, and I think it looks pretty good. But anyway, we got all that made, and then we're about to sit down and enjoy the bowl of udon noodles, and a very interesting thing happened. You see me standing up there in the back, but to my right and to the left there is a gentleman standing there. He's a Buddhist priest. And this Buddhist priest, as we're about to eat, he pipes up and he says, "I think we ought to have a Christian prayer and a Buddhist prayer before we eat lunch." And I thought, wow, that's kind of a strange thing. What do we do, Lord, at this moment here? You know, I'm not wanting to push the ecumenism or anything of that sort. But God just got to my heart and he said, "Pray, Bob, pray." And so I just, as best as I could, I capsulized the gospel in the prayer. And then he offered a little short word after that, and we just enjoyed the meal together, and just was a real good time. Well, God has brought us into this place to establish these relationships with these people, and he continues to give us the opportunities to do that. And another way in which he gives us these opportunities is through this social awareness club. Our city sponsors in the various parts of the city these social awareness clubs, which are there for the express purpose of doing away with this discrimination that has been present in the society for centuries. Japan has even had an outcast class. And so there's this social awareness club, and this same Buddhist priest, he and I were asked to come to this social awareness club, and each of us share our respective religions. He came to share about Buddhism, and I came to share about Jesus Christ. He shared about death, and I shared about life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we were asked to talk about what the meaning of love is in our respective religions. And the Buddhist priest kind of frowned, and he said, "We don't talk about love in Buddhism. We talk about good works." Well, what a neat opportunity to say that there is love and to talk about what real love is. Well, that was an opportunity we had. And then we had another opportunity when this last fall, last November, we had the privilege to lead this social awareness club on a day tour down to some of the Christian sites that we have on our island of Kyushu. which is the roots of Christianity in Japan, where more than 450 years ago now Francis Xavier came. We are standing here in front of the Memorial Church for Francis Xavier. And then we also visited another church where we got to go inside, and here we were looking at these beautiful stained glass windows. I wish we could see them better, but these stained glass windows, there's 12 of them, they trace the life of the Lord Jesus Christ from His birth to His ascension. And we were seated there with these friends of ours who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ yet, talking about the life of Jesus, tracing it through as we looked at those stained glass windows. And then we had a time of prayer together. Some of them, well, in fact, quite a number of them afterwards came and said, you know, the highlight of our day was sitting in that church looking at those beautiful stained glass windows, hearing about Jesus. I thought that was a cool thing. Well, we've also had outreach through what we've called the sweet potato patch. And that, you're looking there at a preacher. He's not a farmer, but he. I just got this idea that if we could grow some sweet potatoes and then just share them in the community. There's an old traditional thing they've had over there in Japan where the vendor comes around on a cold winter night and calls out that he's selling sweet potatoes, and the people come out and buy a sweet potato. Well, I just wanted to pick up on that. It's kind of like the Good Humor Man, the ice cream Good Humor Man you'd have over here. So last year, we borrowed this garden plot, and I got 300 potato vines, planted them, and over the course of the months, and as I kept getting all this good advice from the farmers in the neighborhood, you know, coming and telling this dumb preacher how to do it, and the Lord brought them to caused them to grow, and we were able to get a harvest of sweet potatoes this last fall. There's some of them. And then we scheduled a sweet potato eating party day at the church. I wanted to take it around the neighborhood, but I couldn't figure out how to keep them baked as we'd go around the neighborhood. So we changed that, and we had had the community come our way, had some friends help us out. Here's Motoko and Joan wrapping the sweet potatoes in the foil. And then here's how we prepared them. We got taught about a traditional way of doing it. Well, you take that can there and you stuffed it with twigs and paper and pour a little kerosene on it, lit a fire there, and then we poured the rice chaff all around and over it. You see the flue right there in the center, and that fire caught in the rice chaff, and it smoldered and burned down in there. We buried the sweet potatoes down in there, and in about 3 hours, we had some neat baked sweet potatoes. And then they were ready to eat, and on that beautiful Sunday afternoon, God brought about 50 people our way for this open house that we scheduled from 2 to 6 that afternoon. It was an interesting thing. I think here in America, when you go to an open house, you don't stay for the whole time, usually. But most of our people who came just stuck around and enjoyed the fellowship and had a great time. Some of them came up to me afterwards and said, you know, we need to do this kind of thing more. And I thought, man, we're going to take the opportunities to have these gatherings of the community here at the church. What a great thing that would be. And so they stood around the fire and enjoyed the fellowship and the warmth of that. We had the chances to witness. Here's Joan seated with a couple of gals, Sachiko and Sanae, and she's sharing with them her own personal testimony. And we had deliberately shared a testimony through the invitation card and through the thank you card that we gave out to everyone who came. The interesting thing was that Buddhist priest I told you about a moment ago, he came down the next day holding that thank you card, and he says, "Bame-san, this is great. I love it. Could you write up a report for the community news circular?" And so we got together with Motoko and wrote up a report, sharing again a testimony in that of what the Lord had done in this, and it went out in the news circular. Well, here they are, several of them, standing around that fire. And incidentally, we knew it was a God thing for that day because God gave us a beautiful day. And I know it was a God thing because that night it started to rain, and it rained for 3 days. Now, you see that flue there in the middle? Well, even after 3 days, there was smoke coming up from that flue. So there was really quite a fire down in there that just kept the warmth of that going. And I was just brought to think, Lord, if you would just take and get a hold of those hearts, and even as the warmth was there in that fire, that there would be an ever-increasing warmth that would come to their hearts, and they would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we'd just like to take a few more moments here to point out several friends that we have where we have the opportunities to share Jesus. This is Kazuyuki. He's a car mechanic. He lives a block away from the church. I can't tell you of a better way, you know, to have it all set up for the care of your car than to have your mechanic living just a block away. You can either give him a call or walk up there. It's almost quicker to walk up and talk to him, and he comes and takes care of the car. And that's all been great. But through that, God has brought our relationship to the place of where we get together for things other than talking about cars. And we have the opportunity to share with him. Kazuyuki has a ongoing medical issue that he has to address. And I've had the chance to be with him, go to the hospital where he is, pray with him. And I'm just trusting that as God continues to melt his heart, he's going to give himself to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's his cousin Kato. You're probably curious as to what we're doing there and what he's holding. That's a snake skin that we found on this tour we had gone on. But Kato is just a neat guy. He actually is a grandpa. But you know what he does 5 days a week? He gets up early, drives his car down to the grade school, walks back to our community, and walks with the grade school kids down to school. He does that because they've got to cross some busy roads and all that. He's just got a heart that is so generous and so compassionate. And as we get to know him, I'm just trusting that God is going to really bring this gentle heart to himself. He's, by the way, spent the whole afternoon with us at the Sweet Potato Patch party. And just we had the chance, he was intermingling with our church people. And it was just a great afternoon together with him. And then there's Mrs. Migita. An interesting story with Mrs. Migita. Just over a year ago, her husband dropped dead in their backyard. And we had gotten to know her husband, and we had gotten to both of them and done a number of things together. And it was just such a sad thing when she came. Actually, she didn't come right away. She came, you know, actually a couple months or so afterwards. And she shared the story with us. It just saddened our hearts so much and just showed us of the compelling need to just get out there more with her. Well, we went over there to invite her to a Christmas event we were having, and she goes, "Would you just come on in for a few minutes?" And so she invited us into her house, and we went into her living room, and there she showed us the Buddhist altar that she had for her husband. And she had the food that was there that was being offered to the spirits of the deceased and her husband's picture. I mean, you look at that and your heart is just so saddened with the spiritual darkness of it all. But then she says this to us. She says, "You know, when my husband died, I didn't know what to do. I had no idea what to do. So I called the Buddhist priest and he came and told me what I should do." And we thought, wow. Wow, how sad this is. But we also thought, you know, here's a lady, you know, this Buddhist religion, it's not really a living, warm relationship thing for her. I mean, it comes the time of her husband's death, she doesn't even know what to do. So she's got to find out. And we thought, well, we just have got to take chances, opportunities to share with her the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so even now as we go back in less than a month, We're gonna trust the Lord for the boldness to go and to just be forthright with this lady and pointing her to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there's the Teramotos. This is the Buddhist priest and his wife. Many people in the greater community are just intrigued with the fact of how can it be that a Christian missionary and a Buddhist priest can be such good friends. And indeed, we are good friends, but my constant prayer is that this Mr. Teramoto will just see the light of the gospel and the truth, and that we're going to have a day, and I trust it'll come very soon, when we'll have a former Buddhist priest in our community.
Amen.
And then there's Hitomi, and then there's Sanai as well. They work for the local convenience store. It's kind of like a 7-Eleven store. In fact, it's really kind of like the old 7-Eleven stores, because it's one of those stores that's still open from 7 in the morning until 11 at night instead of 24/7. But anyway, their little store down there, it's so open, so friendly towards us, allows us to put up the announcements of our church work there, and we have this ongoing friendship with them, and we're grateful for that. These seeds that we can plant that we trust will soon bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then just this story about Mr. Abe. You saw the wreath making and you saw the beautiful greens. Well, Mr. Abe works at a very prestigious, exclusive golf course, a golf course where a gentleman by the name of Tiger Woods has visited in the past, and he's very proud of the golf course where he works. He provides us with these greens for our wreath making every year and does so with much joy. Well, about 3 years ago, this man was stricken with a very, very severe, a dangerous case of stomach cancer. And he had to have a major operation. We went down to the hospital before the operation. We shared with him some gospel materials. We asked if we could pray with him. I asked if I could pray. And I prayed there. I prayed, Lord, if it would please you, would you just spare this man? Would you heal him so that he can have the opportunity to come to know you as his personal Lord and Savior? The Lord answered that prayer. This man is a smiling man who's free of cancer today, and he just has so much joy about his life and what he does. He's told me on any number of occasions, he says, Bame-san, you prayed, that's why I'm well. And I tell him, well, you know, Abe-san, it's not me. It's the one I prayed to who made you and me, who loves you and wants you to give your heart to him. So we continue to plant those seeds and trust that his day of salvation will come soon. Just some prayer requests as we close. And incidentally, we do have a picture prayer request sheet that's back on the missionary table along with our picture prayer card. If you'd like to take one of these, we would just feel so privileged to know of your continued prayer for us. But just these prayer requests here. Our church has become a member of the National Free Church of Japan, and we're trusting that within the next couple of years, we're going to have a national pastor. We'll be able to come there and carry on in that ministry. And then we've got one more month or a little less than a month to go of our three-month home assignment or furlough. Just your prayers for those who are over there and are continuing on the ministry. We have some lay people. We have a fellow missionary who's helping out in that. And then we talked about the Lammy Club, the Mommies and Me Club thing with the young moms and their wee little ones. As we go back now, we're looking for new leadership and a new direction for that ministry. This is a vital outreach ministry of week in and out to be able to touch these hearts and these lives. And then you saw the pictures of those wives who have unsaved husbands. Pray that God would raise up Christian homes in our country. Pray for these wives and the tough task they have each day of being the winsome witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then would you just pray also for a breakthrough in this neighborhood where our church is, that God would bring us to the place where these seeds that we've been planting will indeed come to bear fruit. And I long to see the day when we get up in the morning on a Sunday and we look and we see people walking to church from the community around us. And I believe we're part ways there. And we just would be so privileged to know that you pray with us that that day will come. And for that boldness to share with people like Mrs. Migita and others, that the Holy Spirit will get a hold of them and bring them to himself. And so we just want to say thank you, domo arigato. Thank you so very much for allowing us to be a part of your family and to have that compassion and that passion to share Jesus Christ all around the world and in Japan. Incidentally, those blossoms right there are almond tree blossoms. Right there, they're almonds. Thank you, thank you.
Stay up here and help us do communion.
I'll give you this.
Chad, let's see, Chad's here. Where's Jay? Greg, Dave, why don't you guys come up? We're going to serve communion.
It's our pleasure to take communion with them because they're doing church. Here we go. All right. So we're doing this all together, and we do it in the name of the Lord because we're part of one church family. They're going church in Japan just like we are. They have the opportunity to engage people on behalf of Jesus Christ. And so as it was the tradition of the church, or actually before the church was formed in Israel, the Passover, where they were celebrating God's deliverance of the faithful from bondage in Egypt. Not only celebrating being delivered from something, they're being delivered to something. Following the Lord their God to be a light unto all the nations, to call all those people to worship God. At the table we have, for communion. It's our opportunity to not only say that this is for us, but we're doing with the Vermeer family. We're doing with their church in Japan. Not only that church, but every one of them that's being planted in the name of Jesus Christ, not just the evangelical free churches, but all those of the evangelical sort that believe in the good news for the transformation of lives. So as we take communion this morning, I hope that you understand that you are part of a larger group called by the Lord Jesus Christ to win unto himself people who call upon his name for their lives. That this isn't just something we do because we have to. We do it because it's the honor that we have being called into the family business by our Father and the Son and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So as we get ready to take the bread, this is a picture of the physical nature of Jesus Christ on earth, living the will of the Father. Jesus told his disciples that in one of his stories that, "I have bread that you know not of, to do the will of the Father who sent me." When we partake of this together, we're saying this. Together, as a church body, we're committing not only on your half of your family, but on behalf of the church. This is how we shall live. The will of the Father on earth in real time. Together. That's what makes us a church. So as you partake of this, hold on, we'll take it all together. Please pass the elements. In the upper room, Jesus took this with his disciples, knowing the time, knowing the week he was in, knowing the Father had called him. He said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you." Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The problem with shedding of blood is the blood being shed is from less than God. It takes a God-sized price to pay for a God-sized debt. And in the Lord's table, we have the fruit of the vine as both a symbol to be connected to the vine, but also the idea of sacrifice. That your faith is to be lived sacrificially for others to come to know Jesus Christ. It's not a faith unto yourself, it's a faith unto others, for Jesus' name. So as you take this, take a moment, even pray, "Lord, is there somebody in my life that I can act sacrificially to in the name of Jesus?" Ask him for a face.
Ask him for an opportunity to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. Please pass the elements. Please stand and lift your cup. Today we don't just take communion together as the Orchard Bible Fellowship. We take communion together with the Orchard Bible Fellowship, our Vermeer missionaries, and your church. They are part of our family. We are part of them, committed in ministry to see Jesus Christ's name and reputation spread across the world. It only has potency in that the very fact that the Son of God, by the will of the Father and the consent of Himself, Jesus, shed His blood for sinners, a perfect price for those who are in need of a perfect Savior. Take and drink. But wait, there's more. Jesus Christ said, "You will do this until I come back to drink it with you again." Revelation ends very simply with the idea of saying, "Lord Jesus, come back. Lord Jesus, come back." And until that day, we are the body of Christ. We have a special purpose to live out the Lord's table, whether that be at school, at work, with our neighbors, our family, even unto our government, to be people of the Most High God, worshipers of Jesus Christ. Amen. May you go in the will of the Father, as Jesus Christ has lived. May you pronounce His reputation, the one who was sinless, yet even then died for sinners, shedding His blood that we might have remission from sin. Go into the Father's business. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, may God bless you this week. Amen. For the Vermeers at Cassaro. So come, buy yourself a pizza, hang out, and poke a missionary.